A study by the U.S. Geological Survey looks at the ecological conditions that sage grouse need in order to survive and the amount of human disturbance they can tolerate. We're joined now by Steve Knick, one of the report's authors. He says the goal was to determine the basic requirements that sage grouse have.
In other words, what do you need to support sage grouse? And so we used maybe just a little more complicated variation of the basic food cover, space, and water that's in every biology class. And so we used 28 different variables and looked at how those varied across the sage-grouse range and identified this basic set that we call the ecological minimums. Once we had that, then we were able to map that and show places where the environment was suitable for sage-grouse, even though they may not be there, and not only suitable then, but over larger distances, how you might establish connectivity between different populations.
What were some of the key findings that you came up with in terms of, you know, these minimum requirements that sage-grouse have?
Probably the main one was how little disturbance sage-grouse would actually tolerate. And disturbance comes in many different forms, but one of them that we measured was human development. And there was very little human development within the areas around these leks. Development is things like cities and towns. So the result itself isn't all that surprising for a land cover called development. The other kind of human activities, though, that also were really low levels were things like power lines, communication towers, interstate highways. Sage grouse just didn't do well when you had a lot of those within that surrounding area.
Now, we've known for a while that sage grouse don't like human disturbance. So what exactly is new here?
Probably the level of the human disturbance was much less that they would tolerate than what we've probably known. And the implication then is, you know, how do we then manage the development of resources on these lands with conservation of sage grouse?
So what does research like this say about, for instance, Wyoming's core area policy?
I think it supports the concept that if you're going to try and maintain sage-grouse populations, you need to minimize disturbance to some extent within these, whether they're called core areas in Wyoming or priority areas for conservation in the range-wide, and all the other states have these kind of things as well. But the idea being that you try and minimize disturbance in these areas that are highly critical to sage-grouse.
What further research needs to be done about this?
I think some of the characteristics of disturbance itself, in that oil and gas wells and roads, whether it's communication towers, all have different characteristics. And understanding those characteristics is going to be important because we may be able to have different levels of these disturbance within areas as opposed to simply minimizing everything.
Is there any advice that you have for wildlife managers, given what you know now from this study?
Probably just to continue looking at ways to conserve some of the large areas of sagebrush that we currently have. It's given the characteristics of sagebrush, it's unlikely we're going to, say, grow large areas of new sagebrush that's undisturbed, which really places then an importance on those areas that we still have.
Okay, well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's fun to talk about this stuff.
Steve Knick is a researcher with the USGS, and he was working on a study about the minimum ecological requirements for sage grouse.